I've been hearing people say, there is no playbook to navigate this time. Parents have wondered, should I send my child to school or choose an online option or homeschool? People have wondered, should I meet up with people in a restaurant? Or should I have people over to our house? And if so, how many? Should I wear a mask? And if so, when? As a church, we have wondered, do we open up our building for public services? And now that we're opening up our building for worship services in person with a limited number of people, some of you have asked the question, should I attend? We need wisdom in this COVID world, but we'll also need insight on the other side of it. You may ask, should I stay in school? And if so, what should I focus my studies on? Or you might ask the question, what should be my life vocation? Or if you're single, should I get married? And if so, to what kind of person? If you become a parent, you might ask, how can I raise my children well? Or you might be in a situation where you wonder, should I confront them on this, or should I just let it pass? We need wisdom in COVID. We'll need insight on the other side. And so today, we are beginning a new sermon series on how to live wisely using the wisdom from the book of Proverbs in the Bible. And according to the Proverbs, wisdom is understanding reality. Wisdom involves knowing why things are the way they are and how they work. Proverbs zeroes in on the moral and the spiritual order that comes from God. And the Proverbs teach us that we understand this moral and spiritual order from God as we keenly observe life and as God deposits that wisdom directly into our heart. The book of Proverbs opens with these words, Proverbs 1, verse 1 and 2. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, for gaining wisdom and instruction and understanding words of insight. And here we see that the Proverbs are given to us that we might gain wisdom and have insight so that we can have a deep understanding of how things are and how things work, so that we can perceive the moral and spiritual order that is from God. Jill Briscoe defines wisdom as spiritual street smarts. Professor Bruce Waltke, an Old Testament scholar who taught for a number of years at Vancouver's Regent College, defined wisdom of the Proverbs as life skill or mastery based on experience. Now, the Proverbs give us pithy statements that offer a window into how the world works. The individual Proverbs are short. They don't represent all of reality, but show us how the world generally works. So the Proverbs are not promises. The Proverbs are probabilities. So, for example, in Proverbs 10:27, we read, the fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. That's not an absolute promise. That represents a probability. I remember talking to a professor who teaches medicine at Harvard Medical School, and he pointed out that if you're a person of faith, and hopefully this will be good news if you believe in God, if you're a person of faith, and you live a good and upright life, statistically speaking, that will add years to your life. And conversely, we know that if you abuse yourself and others, that will probably shorten your life. But we know there are many exceptions. There are devout people who live a short life, and there are abusive people whose life seems to go on and on and on for a very long time. The Proverbs are not promises. The Proverbs are probabilities. In Proverbs 22, verse 6, in a famous verse of scripture, we read, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, generally speaking, the way we train up a child, the way a parent or influential person in a child's life brings discipline and love will shape that child for the rest of their lives. But that's not always the case. Sometimes a child is well brought up, but then ends up going off the rails. And sometimes a child, sadly, is raised by abusive parents, and they're deprived, and yet they just turn out to be these amazing people. The Proverbs are not promises. The Proverbs are probabilities. The book of Proverbs was written mostly by Solomon, who was legendary for his wisdom. Solomon was a father. And so in the book of Proverbs, he introduces us to an image of a father instructing a son. But the image could have been of a mother instructing a daughter, or a father instructing a daughter, or a mother instructing her son. But because Solomon is a father to a son, he uses this image. And Solomon as a father wants his son to meet and to one day wed someone named Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. And if you're a parent or can imagine being a parent, or if you're an uncle or aunt or a mentor figure, you want that special young person in your life, if they marry, to wed someone who is good and wise. And Solomon is no different. He wants his son to wed Lady Wisdom. Now, according to the scriptures, wisdom isn't simply some abstract idea. Wisdom is this actual entity that comes from God. In Proverbs 8:24, we read wisdom speaking in this way. Lady Wisdom says, "I was given birth." Now, according to the Old Testament scholar Bruce Waltke, this phrase in the Hebrew is not saying that God made wisdom, but rather God birthed wisdom, or wisdom was begotten by God. And so wisdom is organically connected to God. It comes from God. And Lady Wisdom was birthed at the very beginning of creation, according to the scriptures, and continues to be active to this day. We read in Proverbs 1, 20 and 21, that out in the open, Lady Wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in the public square. On the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. And this real entity, birthed by God, Lady Wisdom, cries out to people, not only to people of faith, but to people who don't even believe in God. And when a person who doesn't believe in God acts with generosity, integrity, justice, whether they know it or not, they are being influenced by Lady Wisdom. And Solomon wants his son to meet Lady Wisdom and to be captivated by her. Now, don't think Lady Wisdom is really, really smart but boring. According to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 5, we read Lady Wisdom saying, "Come and eat my food, drink the wine I have mixed." Solomon is saying, Lady Wisdom is going to make your head spin in a good way. She is sensual. And she invites you to dine with her. And in this ancient Near Eastern concept, an invitation to dine wasn't like ours saying, hey, let's do coffee or lunch sometime. It was an invitation to enter into a deep and intimate connection. And Solomon wants his son to be captivated by Lady Wisdom, to know her, to honor her, to cherish her, to embrace her, to wed her, because he knows that if his son weds Lady Wisdom, he will be on a path to delight, to satisfaction, to living a life that is consistent with the grain of the universe, and that he will flourish and prosper. But Solomon also points out that Lady Wisdom does not stand in a field alone. She has a rival. Who is that rival? Woman Folly. In Proverbs 9, we read about Woman Folly. She sits at the door of her house on the seat of the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there and that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. Now, Lady Wisdom is captivating. She will make our head spin in a good way. Woman Folly is hot in a different sort of way. She has this allure. And her path is the path of easy pleasure, easy sex, illicit, easy money. When she speaks about how stolen water is sweet, this is poetic language. This is metaphor for how illicit sex, adulterous sex, sex outside of covenant, sex outside of marriage bonds, has a certain attraction to it, a certain allure. This is why Nelly Furtado's song some time back entitled Promiscuous was a big hit, with the guy singing, promiscuous girl, wherever you are, I'm all alone, and it's you that I want. And then Nelly sings, promiscuous boy, you already know that I'm all yours. What you waiting for? And there's a certain kind of appeal to Woman Folly, to promiscuous girl, to promiscuous boy. It's the way of easy pleasure, easy sex, ill-gotten, easy money. In Proverbs 1, Solomon warns his son about getting involved in dishonest schemes that promise, seemingly promise, to make his son rich quick. In adolescence, and some adults know about the allure of some promise that seems to say, you'll be rich quick. That's why stealing can be appealing to youth and some adults. This is why drug dealing can draw in some. People can get tempted by a dishonest path in business to get rich quickly. Solomon is saying to his son, look, Woman Folly has charm, but this path of easy pleasure, easy sex, easy money may seem like it's going to lead to life, but I tell you, the dead are in her house. And in another passage in Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 16:25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, it leads to death. There is a way that seems right to a woman, but in the end, it leads to death. And so Solomon wants his son to be drawn in by Lady Wisdom, to be captivated by her, to fall in love with her, because he knows that Lady Wisdom will lead her son on a path that is congruent with the grain of the universe. The Wright brothers back in 1903 were able to take flight in that first airplane flight because they understood and they honored the law of aerodynamics. And Father Solomon knows that if his son or daughter honors the laws of the universe that have been created by God, they will be able to fly. They will be able to fly and not crash and burn. They will be able to fly and ascend to new heights. But I know there are people that don't want to look to Lady Wisdom, to some outside source of wisdom, because they think that they can do it on their own. They can rely on their own smarts and intuition. I've been reading a fascinating book by the brilliant social scientist Daniel Kahneman. He won the Nobel Prize in economics, and he has written this insightful book called Thinking Fast and Thinking Slow. Thinking Fast and Slow. And in this book, he points out how our intuition can mislead us. So let me give a simple example. He actually describes this, but you know it. When you are a beginner driver and you're driving on snow and ice for the first time and you begin to skid, your instinct, your intuition is to turn away from the skid, but experienced drivers know that if you do that, you lose control of your car. Or if you're sliding on ice or snow, your instinct is, if you're a beginner driver, just to bam, hit that brake hard, but you'll lose control. The right thing to do is to tap the brake lightly. Sometimes our intuition will lead us astray. And so we need a wisdom that is beyond ourselves. We need Lady Wisdom. I've got a friend who was experiencing a lot of success in his career. It was taken off. He was traveling a lot. But his son, who was in his adolescent years at the time, was going through some real difficulties, some major challenges. And so my friend, along with his wife, literally would get down on their knees praying for wisdom, crying out for wisdom. According to my friend, they had never kneel together in prayer, but they were desperate and they were crying out for wisdom. And as they were praying, my friend sensed wisdom was guiding him to pull back on his travel, to put less time into his work, even though it would slow his career momentum, and to spend more time with his son, who was in a very difficult state. And how years later, my friend will say, I did not regret seeking wisdom and acting in a way consistent with wisdom as I understood it. That was a great decision. Wisdom helped me. I've got another friend, my dear friend, Joanna, who was married to Coleman Mockler, the late legendary former CEO of Gillette. Coleman, as the CEO of Gillette, had this very demanding job. He was CEO when there were three hostile takeover attempts of Gillette. And Coleman staved those off. He fought them off, even though if he had capitulated, he could have pocketed literally millions and millions and millions of dollars for himself. But he staved off those hostile takeover bids because he wanted to protect the interests of his employees and the stockholders. And I remember my friend Joanna saying to me each morning, as Coleman would go to the front door of their home, he and Joanna would stand there, and Coleman would pray, Lord, I have no idea how to make the decisions I have to make today. No idea, but I know that you know, and I'm going to trust you to show me. And every day he would turn to the Lord and look for wisdom. And we need a wisdom outside of ourselves. Solomon says, above all else, get wisdom, though it costs you all you have. Get understanding. And sometimes in order to get that, like my friends, we need to get on our knees and cry out for the wisdom of God. Cry out for the favor of Lady Wisdom. And we need to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we will grow wise. Now, this would be a different message, and I think it'll come up at a future installation of this Proverbs series. But growing into a wise person means walking with wise friends, walking with a wise family member, if you have one, maybe sitting with a wise spiritual director or guide. Grow wise. Above all, get wisdom. Above all, get wisdom. And though it costs you all that you have, get understanding. Now, Solomon here is describing wisdom as this real entity personified as Lady Wisdom. Is Solomon using some kind of literary device to describe wisdom as he uses the term Lady Wisdom? Maybe. But what if wisdom were actually a person, like a really wise mother or father or teacher or mentor? According to the Gospel of John in the New Testament part of the Bible, according to the first chapter of John, in the beginning was the Word. And the term word in the Greek is the word logos. So John is saying, in the beginning was the logos, or the deep logic, the deep knowledge, the deep wisdom. And so we could paraphrase John chapter 1, verse 1 in this way. We could say, in the beginning, in the very beginning was the wisdom. And the wisdom was with God, and the wisdom was God, and the wisdom became flesh. Wisdom became a human being. And we beheld his glory that first Christmas, full of grace and truth. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in the scriptures, the Apostle Paul describes Jesus Christ as the wisdom of God. And Jesus himself, in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is saying, if you will come to me and wear my yoke, a yoke of wisdom, a yoke that fits you perfectly, you will experience delight. You will find yourself walking in a way that is congruent with the grain of the universe. And in COVID or out of COVID, you will find rest for your souls. Let's pray together. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 5, we are told in Scripture, if any of you lacks wisdom, ask God, who gives generously to all. And so even now, in your heart, if you want, you can say, Spirit of the living God, lead me to Lady Wisdom. Lead me to Jesus Christ. And through his Spirit, make me wise. May wisdom enter my soul. And may understanding be pleasant to my spirit. And may it be so in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.